All right, KISS Army, welcome to the KISS FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. This is a KISS-related podcast by the board for the board. We hope that you enjoy.
Join the KISS FAQ YouTube channel. Member perks include exclusive song story demo bites, songs of the moment with contextual introductions, document and merchandise dives, KISS FAQ board topic reaction videos, early access to channel content, and hopefully lots more. Click the join button on the KISS FAQ YouTube channel or follow this link.
All right, now that you're awake, let's talk about Destroyer. No. Oh, there we go.
No, let's not.
Whoa, whoa.
No. No,
scared wow. Mark. You're scaring Mark by saying
Mark just logged off.
Yeah, today we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Dress to Kill. Yeah, we're going a little early here in advance of the actual release date of the album because there's a lot of other things queued up in the interwebs for that. So we want to do our rankings and discussions today. I'm putting out content around the album week in, week out at the moment. We've had Rock and Roll All Night as a song story episode, Come On and Love Me as a song episode, Beacon at Midnight covering the first show of the tour and their big press party and homecoming to New York. Got a lot of views, so I do appreciate everyone who shared the video, liked the video, watched the video, or turned it off halfway through. Either way, thank you for your time. And Monday, there's another song story coming out from the album, kind of. And this morning, I finished recording and editing the audio track to the next one. So lots of content around these wonderful 50th anniversaries that we're all blessed to be around to celebrate, Dress to Kill. I did a poll this week on the channel for the first of the three KISS studio albums, what was everyone's favorite? And this one came in third. But you know what? It doesn't matter because these are close votes. There are no hanging chads. There are no stolen ballots. All three of the original first KISS albums are equally valid as an important part of their catalog. And all of them are represented on Alive, which we'll be celebrating later in the year. Let's go around the table. Daniel couldn't be with us today. He had a conflict, but he did send in his votes and his rankings, and no doubt everyone in the chat's going to comment as well as we go along. But let's just go back to the first time you encountered Dress to Kill and what your overall thoughts are of the album as we look back at 50 years of it. Lottie.
Dress to Kill. So I've been thinking about this week, I'm guessing that I got it I'm going to say like 95, 96, something around in there, in my going back and collecting the back catalog. By the time I got a, by 95, I had a job working at the golf course. And here we signed Mike Gesicki. Let's go, Hoogay.
Yeah.
Whoa. Let's go.
Oh, my.
Okay, what does that have to do with Dress to Kill?
Welcome to the Bengal podcast.
Look at the free issues. He starts on Monday.
Jeez.
So it's 95, 96. Going back and getting the back catalog and, obviously knowing Come On and Love Me, knowing Rock and Roll Night, knowing She, Rock Bottom, everything from Alive and collecting those other songs and getting to know them. So, I love Dress to Kill. Listening to it the last couple of weeks, we're going to get into it. I mean, I forget how great it is and how great those other songs are that don't appear on Alive. So I want to say 95, 96, right around reunion time is when I got it. I finally got it and really enjoyed the hell out of it and still do.
Yeah, Lonnie's outburst was sports related for anyone who's wondering what on earth just happened there. A bipolar. Few moments before, I'd had mine. Liverpool won today. So putting sports to the side now and getting back to the music. Mark, what about you? When did you first encounter Dress to Kill and what are your overall thoughts on it?
I remember seeing the album cover when I was pretty young, when I was living in the apartment buildings, my older sister, she took me up to her friends. I remember I told you guys about these friends of hers. They had all this Kiss stuff in their room and stuff like that. And the one guy had a back patch. I don't think it was an official one. I think that there was a guy in our building who did really great painting, and he used to make back patches for all the guys in the building. And he made a really cool Dress to Kill one on this guy's jean jacket. And so I remember seeing that cover and thought it was really kind of cool. And I saw it in like on the album cover, like the proper one. I thought it was really cool. And then I remember when I first heard it, it was probably at the wrong time when I heard it, because I was neck deep into like Metallica and Nevermore. I was neck deep into like really heavier stuff like Slayer and stuff like that. And I thought it was kind of lame when I first heard it. Like, this is weak, you know? And then later on, years later, when I started getting deeply into Kiss, when my friend came into the band who was a diehard, the guy who has like a Unmasked poster in his living room over the fireplace, that guy, I really started listening more attentively to the albums, and I thought that it was actually really, really good. And I appreciated more the sort of, you know, song structure and stuff like that about it then. So I got into it a little later after my initial introduction.
Yeah, and since I became a fan around the same time as you, I don't recall where I got this in terms of buying the back catalog. I just remember thinking that the cover was really cool. But again, that seems to apply to most of the things I've said about when I was buying Kiss albums to fill in the back catalog. So I don't remember. I remember Double Platinum more than I remember Dress to Kill itself. But Ken, you were there in the 70s. Where did it fit into your... There. Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, see... It was one of the Kiss albums I put on my Christmas list, 1978. So 77, I was getting into them, and I had gotten some of their things, you know, albums and stuff. That's when it all started. So I was slowly getting their back catalog. And Dress to Kill was probably one of the last ones that I asked for. I did get it. Santa Claus gave me Dress to Kill. He came through. It was an album that the cover I thought was kind of, you know, it's cool, and then it's not rock and roll, but it's rock and roll. It's kind of strange to me when I first saw it. But it didn't matter. It's about the music inside, and I enjoyed the music. All I knew at that time was, I think, from having Double Platinum, was "Come On and Love Me," "She," and "Rock and Roll All Night." Those are the three, right? That were on there. I was hearing some new cool stuff that I hadn't heard before. So yeah, it's a really good album. I really enjoy it.
As a collector, I remember actually while you were talking that Dress to Kill was the first time I ever found a white spine J card original Casablanca cassette in the wild. As in Redondo Beach, heading towards Singapore in 87. And I went into a record store there, and in the cassette racks, I saw a white label. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was cool versus the 85 Polygram cassettes, mm-hmm. which are pretty atrocious. So I bought it. And for years and years and years, I had no idea that the tape inside it was actually just a Polygram reissue from like 1983-84. But that got my cassette collecting off and running when I found out there were white spine original issues. I mean, it just wouldn't have made any sense to me. So we're doing Refocused. We've talked about Dress to Kill before on this show as an album, but now we've got a whole bunch of different metrics that we apply to how we analyze our feelings about this album so that we can put them into numbers. In the first part, we're going to look at the production, the cohesiveness, the cover art, and the singles, and plus the taste. And then we're going to be going song by song, lyrics, melody, and taste. And we come up with an overall number, and we see where this fits in with the other albums that we've been doing. I've been watching way too many tech channels, which is why I've been coming up with metrics to more figure out a number ranking for the album. And if you're watching any video cards at the moment, people are coming up with all different ways of measuring those. So I kind of applied that same logic to the albums, but it is still about the music. Let's get started on the overall album metrics. And Mark, why don't you kick us off? Go through your production, Cohesive Enough, cover art, and singles selection.
All right. So, like I said, this album connected with me a lot later, and I really did think that this, to me, is one of these records that, you know, show the greatness of Neil Bogart behind the board. So production, I gave it a 4 out of 5. I think he did a great job on this. I mean, compared sonically to their first two records, this one is, you can't even compare the two. One's drudgy as hell. The other one's a little bland sounding. This one has all the sonics in all the right places. Cohesiveness, I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Everything in this blends beautifully from song to song. There's no sudden jolting, and you know, this get all of a sudden this song has louder guitars than the last one or this and that. It sounds very well produced. It sounds like a proper record, you know, and that's exactly what you want it to sound like. Cover art and packaging, I gave it a 4 out of 5. I thought that it's pretty striking, that album cover. Maybe not as interesting as like the Hotter Than Hell one, but I like the idea of them being dressed in this, in the outfits, the suits, even Gene's atrocious clogs that he's wearing, give it that kind of funny look to it. But I also thought that the embossed kiss around the edge was an interesting touch and a showing of sort of a little, you know, trying to make it a little bit more, you know, different than the average sort of album cover. So I gave it a 4 for that. Singles. The singles, I gave it a 4 out of 5. I think Rock and Roll Night and Come On and Love Me are probably the strongest songs on that record when it comes from a singles side of the album. The fact that Come On and Love Me didn't do well at all in the singles charts is a complete crime against musical history, because that's one of the greatest songs that they've ever put out. And I think that it deserved to track way, way better than it did at that time. But, you know, it was an uphill battle for Kiss right from the very start when it came to that end of the, you know, music industry. So I still think they deserve a 4 out of 5. As much as I'm sick of hearing Rock and Roll Night, it is still a very strong song and a song that helped them get to where they were in their career. And, you know, without that song, who knows what would have happened with Kiss. And for taste, I gave it a 3. Because this is out of those three records, I still listen to the first album quite a lot, but this one is pretty much up there with it as well. As much like I listen to it probably as much as the debut.
Yeah, there's only 3 points that can go to taste. 1 for you don't like, 2 for meh, middle of the road, and 3 for like.
Yeah.
Ken, I'm going to make Lonnie wait today because he'll have a lot to say, I think. Ken,
because of the outbursts?
Because of my outburst.
Come on.
Crazy. Crazy.
You're in a timeout, Lonnie.
I sit in a corner. Hey, Mark, what was your, you said your production number was?
4 out of 5.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway. All right. Well, I'll go through mine. So production for me is 3 out of 5. While I think it's good, clean production, I would rather have it more, a little bit more raw sounding. I think, you know, is Neil Bogart and Kiss. They said Neil Bogart was more of like a more of a cheerleader than anything in the recording studio, but I'm sure he had direction because he wanted it, you know, a lot of, he wanted to have a bunch of hits because of the, you know, his experience in bubblegum pop and that sort of stuff. So I give it a 3 out of 5. Cohesiveness, I give it a 4 out of 5. It's flows good. There's, you know, everything sounds the same. There's no jarring differences in the songs or anything like that. So 4 out of 5, very cohesive. The cover art, I gave a 4 out of 5 too. It's kind of iconic, that picture has become over the years. And like Mark said, the embossing was a nice touch, even though there was one missing S at the very end, top right corner, for that people notice. The back cover is, I didn't like that so much, the back cover, because it was kind of a, to me, it was kind of lazy on the back. I think they should have done them in their outfits on the back instead. Maybe standing on the same corner under the, you know, on the light post. So that would have been, I think, cooler kind of thing. You see, oh, here we go. You know, you see both sides of Kiss. And then overall taste, I'm going to go, even though it's Kiss really is 3 for everything, pretty much, but in general for this album, I'm going to give it a 2 out of 3 because I want, it's not everything I want in Kiss, you know, certain songs and certain other things regarding the...
What did he give it? I missed that.
Production.
He gave it a 2.
Oh, two.
2 out of 3.
Okay, sorry.
It's not my perfect. It's not my perfect Kiss.
Meh. He said middle of the road.
Wow. Take it or
no, no, no. I enjoy it. Everything's 3, but you got to differentiate stuff between the albums. And this is a 2. This is not, as far as taste, my go to. Hmm. Even though I think it's a great album, but it's not the go to sound of Kiss style that I like. So.
Oh boy.
Why? So you prefer the slower sort of
slow? No, it has nothing to do with slower. It's I prefer Rock and Roll Over, which I would say it would be a 3.
Okay,
over
but that's this. Not what you know.
Well, that's fair.
You know what I mean?
I think we're gonna have to have Lonnie rebut Ken's rankings there.
Who would have thought that 70s Ken would be the hater of Dressed to Kill? Exactly.
I don't hate it. I gave a bunch of pretty darn good. I have to think of the whole catalog when I do this. I think of the whole catalog.
Come on, love me, rock and roll night sheep. Ah, it's not that's not my Kiss.
I didn't say that.
That ain't mine.
No, so for production, I agree with Mark. I gave it a 4. Or am I going, Julian, or are you going?
You go.
Okay. So for production, I gave it a 4 out of 5. I mean, look at the production of the first two albums and then this one. They really get it right with this album. And it, to me, it really sounds the way Kiss is supposed to sound. I put it right up next to Rock and Roll Over with how I want Kiss to sound. And on a studio record, I really think it's much crisper than those first two albums. It's fun rock and roll on this album. It sounds just like a fun rock and roll album production wise, just like Rock and Roll Over sounds like a fun rock and roll album. So production wise, I give it a 4 out of 5. It's not perfect. It's not Rock and Roll Over, to Ken's credit, but production is 4 out of 5. It's very good, but it's not perfect. But cohesiveness, I did give it a 5 because I think the album, like listening to the album, and it's so short, man. You can just listen to this album, you know, twice in an hour, basically.
Yeah.
And it's short, but it just flows. The songs just fit together very, very nicely. Like there isn't like, it kind of takes a little bit of a turn with the introduction to Rock Bottom and then it comes right back up. There isn't really like a, like, oh, what's that doing on there? That seems kind of weird. I think it flows very, very nice. So I gave it a 5. The cover, I gave it a 4. I think it's really, really good. It's an iconic picture of them on the, you know, on the street corner. I mean, how many Kiss fans have made pilgrimage to that street corner just because it has such a great place in Kiss history. The only knock I give it is I agree with Ken that the back is just a little lazy, that it could have been just a little bit different than, instead of just using, you know, a negative almost to say, oh, well, there's the back done. Let's go do lunch type of thing. So I think it could have been a little bit better. But I still give it a 4 because that front is such a cool image and such a cool idea. Just throw them in suits and put them on the street corner. I mean, you see, and people have copied it so much. Like you go to Kiss shows, you see just, I don't have a Kiss outfit to wear. Well, I'll just wear a suit and the makeup to the show. Like you still see that.
Yeah.
Since the moment that album was released all the way up until the end, it made such an impact with fans.
Yeah.
Single selections, I give it a 5. I mean, Rock and Roll Night, I know we're tired of hearing Rock and Roll Night, especially people maybe on this show or people listening to this podcast. I get it. But Rock and Roll Night is a great song at the end of the day. I know it's overplayed and it's like, holy shit, Rock and Roll Night again. But it's a great album. It's a great song, the great way to close the album, and it's a great single. And Come On and Love Me, I've talked about Come On and Love Me on the show countless times, how much I love that song. So single selections, I gave it a 5. There's two great songs that they chose to push out there to radio. Now, I agree with Mark that Come On and Love Me not getting the recognition on radio that it deserves or charting like it should is a tragedy. But that's neither here nor there right now. But for single selection, I give it a 5. They're great choices for singles. And Taste, sorry, Ken, I gave it a 3. I like the album. It's great. So...
I think it's a great album. I'm just saying. They're not all equal.
I got to give you trouble. So, no, I gave it a 3. So, I'll be singing. I'm going to be a homer today. And I know sometimes we rank these albums. I'll say, oh, this is terrible, this and that. And I go, Lonnie, don't even like Kiss. No, I love this album. This is almost, I mean, I've listened to this album this week and I forget how much I really, really enjoy it. It's so good.
Bingo. Hey, Julian? I agree. I totally agree. What's up?
I forgot one thing. I didn't talk about the singles. So, I did give a 5 out of 5.
Before, as Daniel would say, Julian goes off of one of his monologues and you all forget what we're here for.
Yeah. No, I gave a 5 out of 5 on the singles, just saying, like Lonnie said, Come On and Love Me and Rock and Roll Night are the perfect singles. And I think Rock and Roll Night should have been, you know, a bigger hit actually off of this album. But maybe if it would have had that solo, that I don't know if that would have helped. Probably wouldn't have helped at all. I think those are the best two songs on the album. So
that's it. Just remember this. When you say that Rock and Roll All Night should have been a hit off this album, on the same day that the copyright registrations were done for the songs from Dressed to Kill, that's April the 7th, 1975, the songs from Aerosmith's Toys in the Attic were also registered. So don't forget that this album is competing against Toys in the Attick. And Walk This Way off that album, it was not a hit at the time either. It would take till 77 for that one to become a hit. That's crazy. So, you know, both bands share a certain symmetry. Sorry, an Aerosmith tangent. I can't help myself. I had a great deal of fun going back and listening to this. Also, with doing the song stories or the demo stories, it's just been great to sit and focus on these songs, the creation of them, the writing of them, and just listening to the album on repeat. I mean, the album goes by a couple of times in an hour when you just let it go, because it's 30 minutes on the dot nearly. So it's a great album just to focus on. Production, I gave it 3.75. And to me, Dressed to Kill sounds like the Crazy Nights of the Originals era. It's overly polished, and it takes off some of the edge of those performances. 3.75?
Really?
I didn't know we were allowed points or
like
decimals.
That sounds like a Ken move using decimal points.
I didn't even use decimal points. Maybe I would have done a 2-point.
Mark did it.
Yeah, so I did 4.5.
Okay. So the sonics.
Decimal points allowed, I guess.
The sonics are pleasant enough, but for Kiss, it's polished off some of that energy, which is obviously why a lot of us will prefer the songs in their versions on Alive. Cohesiveness, I gave it 4 out of 5. It's very, very unified for such a haphazard and kind of rushed project. When you consider that She and Lover All I Can are recycles from Wicked Lester, so the only two that really get in the way of the cohesiveness of those recycles, but they work well on the album. Moving on to cover art and packaging. The design was handled by Peter Coriston. So they use shots, I think it's October 74, that street corner was done with the suits for that session. And I agree wholeheartedly that they should have paid the photographer for another photo for the back cover rather than just using the analog image of it. But the design, I remember when I first found this in a record store and I felt the embossed cover. You didn't get that on a cassette. I thought it was really cool. And for a record label that was essentially broke, they did great with the packaging for the album. They did a really good job. And yeah, Ken got one of the red ones, everyone.
You son of a bitch.
He's one of the 300 or so. Ken's flashing his goodies again. Right. So I love the cover art and packaging. 4.5. Single selection, 4 out of 5. Again, I agree with everything these guys said about Rock and Roll All Night is a great single. The only part that I took a point from is by going with Rock and Roll All Night, they went with a song that didn't have a guitar solo and they weren't even performing live in the set. So I get them on a technicality for that. And then Taste, obviously 3. I love it. I really do. overall, how do we vote? Lonnie is the homer, like he said. He's on 54 points for those sections. Mark's in second place. Mark has a lot of love in his heart today for Dress to Kill. And then me on 48.75. Daniel on 48. He didn't have anything. He doesn't like the cover art, so I'll have to ask him about that in the future. He gave that the lowest score of us all, 2 out of 5. But everything else was in line with everyone else other than Ken. And then Ken only gave this album 32 points, so that's why we're calling you a hater. Because the
32
math.
32 points.
I was going to say the math doesn't lie, but Julian math doesn't always compute.
This is not the greatest record.
Oh, man.
No, it's not the greatest record, but it's the greatest one that obviously we've listened to in a while and really focused in on. Let's jump straight into... I'm sorry, Ken, do you want to rebut that?
No, I was going to say, what did Mark give Destroyer for taste?
This isn't about Destroyer.
Do you remember that, Mark?
This isn't he gave you a bad time either. About taste.
So. Yeah, but I mean, I don't like that record. I'll openly say it. I think it's
And
shit,
I openly so. Gave Mark a hard
I like,
time.
I like this record, but it's not my... best version of Kiss. That's the only reason. If I'm gonna, you know, the best version of Kiss is gonna be a 3.
That's fine.
Ken is honest. Ken is the voice of reason. So let's move on to the songs. Kicking off the album with Room Service. Lonnie.
So Room Service. Lyrics, I gave it a 4. I think it's fun lyrically. It's very innuendo Kiss type of lyrics. That we've grown accustomed to. So it's not perfect, but I gave it a 4. I really like it. I think it's a fun little play on words. Melody, I gave it a 4. I think it's a fun little way to start off the album. Ken is laughing. He is mocking me as I go through these already on the first song, laughing at my choices. I gave it a 4. I think the melody's fun. It's catchy. And Taste, I gave it a 3. I like the song. So, I mean, I only get 3. Well, I didn't know I had decimal points as an option, but I only get 3 choices, 1, 2, or 3. It's not a 2. It's not meh. It's a good song. So I gave it a 3. Ken's a hater today. And I came out with a 24. I think it's a good song. Now I knew when I ranked this song, maybe that it's not going to get the love that I'm giving it. But I think it's a fun way to it's not their best opener for an album, but it's still a good song and still fun way to kick off the album.
Well, let's go to the other side of the coin, and that's all the way down the scoring scale to Ken.
Wow.
I give it a 2.999. No, I listen, lyrics for Room Service, I gave it a 3. It's not the worst lyrics, not their best lyrics. It's, you know, it's kind of, there's nothing cerebral about the lyrics. It's not Rush, right? It's just.
When was there ever cerebral fun Kiss stuff. Lyrics?
I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit somewhere. I don't know. Maybe Elder, maybe. I don't know. So, 3 for lyrics, and then a melody. I give it a 3 out of 5 for that. I think it's a good. It's a good tune. I enjoy it, but it's the melody is, you know, okay. So it's middle road for me. And Taste for me, 2 out of 3. It's not Paul's best stuff. It's not Come On and Love Me, off of this album, which is the whole twice as good as this song. So I gave it a Taste, 2 out of 3. For that one, which gave me a 12 score. So this is one of my other 2 songs that I have at my lowest ranking on this album, believe it or not.
Yeah. Well, there's no accounting for taste. Mark.
Yeah, so Room Service, look, this album is a pop rock album, okay? With Neil Bogart at the helm, it's going to be like this to-the-point songs, and it's going to be very... as catchy as they can make it. Lyrics, I gave it a 4. This is Paul Stanley at his most Paul Stanleyest, you know. Very innuendo or in her endo, as he would like to say, you know. Uh-oh. So very sort of sexual content in there. And that's what they were all about. They're young guys. They're out on the road. They're going to write about what they know. And they know a lot about that, believe me. And so I gave it a 4 out of 5. Music, I think it's really good. I gave it a 4. It's very upbeat. It gets to the point. The chorus is very catchy. I mean, as soon as you hear that chorus the first time, it's in your head. You could sing it no problem. And taste, I gave it a 3 as well. I think this song is probably one of their better openers on record, probably as strong as some of their later ones that they've done. I've always loved this song. And I've always thought that it's a shame I've never played this song live, you know, or very rarely if they ever did play this song live. They should have played it more often. I think it's very catchy. So I gave it a 24, just like Lonnie did. I'm in full agreement with Lonnie.
Yeah, yes. you and Lonnie were on the same page today. Daniel's just a little bit something behind wrong, you. Yeah, well,
it's unusual.
These two guys on the same page.
Who knows? Take Bob Ezrin out of the equation, and these guys can agree.
Yeah, that makes a difference, doesn't it?
So Daniel's right behind you on 21 points for the song. He only gives the lyrics a 3. I'm 22.5. I'm a little bit higher than Daniel on the lyrics. And it's just because it's so short. It's over before it begins, really. You know, being based on their state of lives and the humor, you know, it comes across well. Melody, I like. It's fun, it's up-tempo, and it's a great opener. I think that's the thing that really works for me, is this is a fantastic way to open the album, which is basically about living on the road when you've only had 4 months touring and no time to actually write about anything. So it's a great opening track. And I always like it. It's like the good times start now. Who doesn't like some room service?
Mm-hmm.
Just like Paul says, in any which way. Yeah. All right, let's move on. So Lonnie and Mark were on the same page. Let's see if that's going to happen with Two Timer. But instead, we'll start with Ken, since it's Gene's first song on the album. Ken?
Yeah. All right. Two Timer. And this next two songs, Two Timer and Ladies in Waiting, they flip and flop for me back and forth, which one I like better. This week... This week, I like Two Timer better than Ladies in Waiting. But so, Two Timer, I give it a 3 for lyrics, which is, again, middle of the road there. So it's not the best lyrics. Melody, I give a 3 also. And for taste, I gave a 3. Probably because it's Gene.
Clearly, it's Gene.
You know, I like that one, but I almost did a 2 on that, but I gave it a 3. I think this song was, you know, those his songs, new songs on this were obviously quickly written and not really fully his best, but still is good enough. So I got an 18 on Two Timer for Gene.
All right, Lonnie, you like this one.
I do. So I gave, similar to Room Service, I knocked it a little bit for the lyrics. I gave Room Service a 4 for the lyrics. I gave this one a 3. I think they're good, but they're not, they're okay. You know, it kind of, it's a Gene song where I think, you know, it's kind of like a Gene song, like, well, I'm going to write a song called Two Timer. And this is how it's going to go. It kind of gives you that vibe a little bit. So the lyrics are fine, but it's Kiss. I mean, again, Kiss isn't like the most, they're not super deep, make you contemplate life type of lyrics on any songs, really. So I gave it a 3. They're fine, but they're not great. But the melody, I gave it a 4. I like the melody. I really like the way the song starts with the dun-dun-dun. Yeah. I think it's really cool the way the song starts. I really like the melody for it. I gave it a 4. It's not great, but it's good and it's catchy. And taste, I gave it a 3 again. I like the song. It's a good song. It's fun. I think it's something that Mark talked about, how they should have played Room Service more. I think they could have played this song more. I think they could have pulled it off and it could have sounded really really heavy and cool live, but unfortunately it didn't get that love very much at all. So it comes out to a 21. I like it a little bit less than the room service, but still really enjoy it.
Lonnie, that vocal for Gene is different, isn't it? A little different, the way he sings it on that one.
Correct.
The way he kind of has a little growl.
I think it would have been cool live with a little bit of growl that he has.
Yeah.
In the song, you know, I think it could have worked really good.
Well, Mark doesn't agree with you. Mark?
Oh, Mark, come on.
Here we go.
So this is where we kind of part ways momentarily, because I think Gene didn't get the memo that they were trying to do like a pop record on here. Of course, Gene seems to always want to do his own sort of thing and doesn't get the picture too often. But Two Timer for lyrics, I gave it a 3. It's not terrible. It's okay. I mean, Gene was never known to be a great lyricist by any stretch of the imagination, but this is okay. This is not bad. Musically, this is where I don't agree with you guys. I mean, it doesn't matter. Everybody has their own opinion. And that's fine, right? But I thought that this is just not really what I think this album needed. It not to say that a part is bad or anything, but this whole da-da-da, I think that thing would have worked better on Hotter Than Hell.
Wow.
You know, whatever, it's a more sludgier, darker record where they're trying to make it a pop record here, and he comes out with something completely different that doesn't even fit the style of the album. So I gave it a 2.5 out of five. I just think that it's just not the song shouldn't have been on this album. It's not that it's a bad song. It just doesn't fit on this record, you know? So, and I gave it a 2 as well. So for taste. And so I gave it 11.
Yeah. Which is one more than Daniel gave it. So it didn't work for Daniel in any way. I think everything that Mark said is 11. Fair, because wow. Mark's comments are in my notes. This Hater. Song to me, this sounds like it could have been on Hotter Than Hell. Even its production and the music is sludgy and kind more in line with Hotter Than Hell than upbeat, up-tempo pop. That said, I love that opening riff as well. It's just once it gets going, it doesn't have a whole lot going for it.
How can you have such a low-ranking song and have the album overall very high rated?
Do you know how
Lonnie,
how averages go? It's
that's not an average.
The songs that I like, I really like, and the songs I don't like, I don't like. So it kind of works.
Hey, all right, I'm just saying.
Ken, some people I've got like a slide ready.
Some people don't like other things.
Yeah, I've got a slide ready for the end of the show, Ken, and I will show you my homework. How about that? So,
homework.
Yeah, so I gave it 18 points overall. Ladies in Waiting, I also give that 18 points, but I like Ladies in Waiting much more, but I'm biased by the live version, especially the one that's on something like the Largo video from November 75 that leaked a few years ago, or even the one from Detroit 76. So we're only talking about the studio version here, but I think this one is better. This one is a leftover song title from Gene. That certainly predated, I think it was around as early as Hotter Than Hell, but one, again, it's a road song, Ladies in Waiting. I just, think it's not as innuendo-laced as Paul's version of the same thing, where Paul's talking about mad dads, Gene's talking about meat markets. And that's really the difference between Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley right there. Ken.
Yeah. Ladies in Waiting, I gave it, it should have probably been 18, but I gave it a 12 overall. 3 on lyrics, a melody, 3 out of 5 on that one. It's, the chorus kind of just, ladies in waiting over and over kind of thing. Not a lot of melody to it. And then taste 2, I give it a 2 because this is not what I want from Gene. I want a little, I want a little bit better stuff. He has better stuff. I think he had like Burning Up with Fever, available at the time, which I think would have been a better song on this album in its place. Either in, this one in place of Ladies in Waiting or Two Timer. So that's just the way I feel about that. But I still enjoy it though.
Mark.
I have to agree with what Julian said about the live version of these songs is really good. I mean, for a song that I don't really care much for, when I heard it on the Kobo there, I thought it was really good. I thought it was fit in perfectly with the set list. But for on the album, It's I only have it a point higher than Two Timer. I mean, lyrically, I gave it a 2.5 out of 5. You know, I understand that Gene has two loves in his life, which is women and food, and he kind of combines it here with, you know, meat market and that. So that lyric always kind of threw me off. We're going to the market. I mean, come on. That's who says that in a market? That's an odd word in a lyric. Anyways, musically, I give it a 3.5 out of 5. I think that musically, it's better than Two Timer. It's more upbeat. It drives along a bit better. I think it fits a bit better on the album. And I gave it a 2 for taste. You know, it's not bad, but it's certainly not in Gene's upper register of great songs. So I gave it a 12.
All right, Lonnie.
Well, I gave it, I thought I was a little critical of the song, but I ended up with a 16 on here, but you guys have dogged the song much more than I have. So I gave lyrics a 4. I thought they're good. They're fine. You know, I again,
shopping for like, meat,
right? Again, it's like Two Timer in the fact that I think Gene wanted to write a song called Ladies in Waiting. And
agreed.
He had the line, so you've been to the market. He's had that in his brain for a little while. I couldn't wait to incorporate it into a song. And then when he did, he was probably really proud of himself when he did. So, so I give it a 4 for lyrics. I think they're very Kiss lyrics. Very innuendo Kiss lyrics. And it's one of the reasons why we love Kiss, because of that their songs are just fun like that. They're not deep thinkers. So I gave it a 4. Melody, I still give it a 4. Maybe I was a little generous on the melody when I'm sitting here thinking about it again. Maybe it could have been a 3, but I ended up with a 4 on the melody. I still think it's a fun enough song that it kind of, you hear it and the melody kind of sticks with you for a little while after you listen to it. And for taste, I gave it a 2. I didn't give it a 3. I like the song. I don't love the song. So, you know, it's not my favorite song off the album, obviously, because I rank this one the lowest out of any songs on the album, and came out with a 16 for it. Still higher than the rest of you guys, I guess, but still enjoyable enough.
Except me, I gave it 18.
Oh, look at you!
The Gene was clear. Gene was clearly warming up for his Animalize phase of songwriting. So.
Right.
Let's go up tempo with Getaway, Ace Frehley's contribution to the album. Lonnie, keep us going, because you really like this one.
I do like this one. I love Peter singing on it. I think Peter's vocals are great, and it's a good change up. At this point, we've had, you know, a Paul song, a couple of Genes, and then we're gonna mix it up with a Peter song. Lyrics, I gave it a 4. I think they're, you know, they're good lyrics. I enjoy it. Melody, I also gave it a 4. I really like the way the song starts off. The introduction to it, and I enjoy the refrain quite a bit with the chorus. And taste, I gave it a 3. It's a good song. I really enjoy Peter singing on it. It's kind of like the, you know, it's the other guys from Kiss song, Ace writing the song and Peter singing it. So that kind of maybe puts a special place in my heart for it, that Ace and Peter kind of get their time to shine on with this track. So I come up with a 24, pretty high ranking, same as I ranked Room Service, actually. So it's a fun song, and it's the other guys from Kiss. So what's not to like about it?
Well, let's go to the other guy. Mark, you're having a really tough time with side A of this album, aren't you? Getaway.
I don't know. I wouldn't exactly say that. I like Ace at this period. I think he had a good vibe going on. I think the sound of his guitar was pretty good during this time period. Lyrics, I gave it a 3. I mean, you know, the critical me would have probably given this a 2, because really, lyrically, there's nothing going on here. It's a lot of repeating of the same stuff going on here. I mean, but I think it's fun. I kind of find that it's what the album needed at this point, kind of a little bit more of a fun, upbeat, you know, double time kind of song going on there. And, you know, Peter singing it, I think he did a good job. I think Peter always does a good job when he's given an opportunity to sing a song on an album. Musically, I gave it a 4. I mean, again, the critical mark would have said, oh, this is just nothing but 12-bar blues. Dan, 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 dan. Like, anybody could write this song, but it's fun. You know, it works well in this record. Again, I think I agree with Lonnie. What Lonnie said, that it's something that it needed during this point of the album, where we kind of had like a bit of a drudgier song and a little bit more of a mid-tempo song. Now we have something a little bit more upbeat to kind of get the, you know, juices flowing a bit better. So I gave that a 4 for music and taste. I gave it a 2. Now let me explain why I gave it a 2. Is because for me on this record, how I did it is, only my kind of favorite songs got a 3, and everything else kind of got a 2. Or if I really disliked it, I gave it a 1, right? So a 2 to me is not a bad ranking overall. It does affect the score, of course, but that's not to say that I don't like the song. I think Getaway is a pretty fun song. I mean, it's one of those songs where you can go to a jam night with some guys and say, hey, do you know how to play blues in A, you know, 12 bar? And yeah, so you can do Getaway or whatever, you know, or even E, any kind of, you know, 12 bar. So yeah, I gave it a 14.
Yeah. Where am I? I'm 18 and a half on this. It's a pretty basic throwback throwaway, but it's super fun. It's just good time Chuck Berry kind of school of rock, you know, that traditional just rock and roll upbeat stuff. But, you know, there's not a whole lot to it. I love Peter's voice. That gives it a bit more rock credibility on the album, because you really got that kind of gruff, you know, vocal coming. I just wish the vocal had more power throughout, rather than just at the end. And I know you build dynamics and all that, and you come out at the top of your full flight and everything, but it's a fun song. I don't have any major problems, and it was used as the B-side to both singles, wasn't it? So who did I miss, Ken?
Yeah. I was just thinking, if I did the averages and stuff, my taste of this album would probably be like 2.8. Anyway, thinking that there's points, decimal points I didn't know I could use. So anyway, all right, Getaway. I really liked the song. I always liked it. It's a good A song, you know. It's fun, which his songs usually are for the most part. Lyrics, 3 out of 5. I give it melody, 3 out of 5 also. And my taste is a 3, because I really enjoy it. I enjoy the song. I enjoy Peter's vocals. The solo that Ace has in it is really cool. It all works, so I gave it an 18 total.
Yep, and Daniel was quite positive about it, 21 points overall. All right, moving on to the end of side A is Rock Bottom, which is... Mark, get us started on that.
Yes. Okay, so Rock Bottom. This song has always sat very well with me. I've always loved this song. Just a quick aside here. When they did the reunion tour in 96 and they were playing this song, you didn't see a more happier Mark in Skydome at that night when they started playing this. I stood up and cheered the loudest you could probably hear in the whole building. I love this song. Lyrics, I gave it a 4 out of 5. I've always thought that while they're not, you know, any like you know, I forget who said it, if it was Lonnie or Ken said cerebral lyrics. They're not cerebral here either, but they're really good. I think that it's Paul Stanley lyrics, you know, at this time, like pretty good, near top shelf for Paul. I love how he wrote the melody, the music in this, and that introduction, the 2 acoustic guitar bit there is really, really good. I don't care what anybody says about the intro. That introduction is fantastic. Probably one of the more intricate things they've probably done on a record between them, those two. And the fact that they've never done more of that together is a crime, in my opinion. That introduction is fantastic. And even when they did a live in 96 where Ace came out with the double neck and Paul joined him on his regular guitar, I thought that that was a great, great vision to see those two together playing that bit. And then after that introduction is done, they kick into it. And from there on in, it's, you know, pedal to the metal for the rest of the song. I love this song. 4.5 out of 5 for the music and taste. I gave it a 3. I gave it a 25.5 overall rating. I love this song.
Lonnie, you also do.
I do too. Now lyrics, I gave it a 3. I didn't give it a 5 for lyrics. The lyrics are okay. You know, they're okay. They're just fine. They're nothing to get really, really excited about, but I don't hate them either. Melody, I gave it a 4 because I love the introduction. It is absolutely, musically, it's fantastic. The before it gets rough part of the song is great. The rough part of the song isn't my favorite. So that's why I couldn't give it a 5 for melody, because the rough part is good, but it's not the first part of the song. The first part of the song is incredible. And I'm with Mark. When they played this in 96, I was like, damn, this is great. This is what I signed up for. And taste, I gave it a 3 because it is good. I enjoy it, especially the first part of it. How do you not like the first part of that song? So I ended up with a 21 on it. Not my favorite track off the album, but damn good.
Damn right. Ken.
Yeah, this, I really enjoy this. The actual instrumental is 1:57 long. Mm-hmm. And I think the rock bottom portion of it, the other part, or whatever you want to call it, is 2 minutes. So it's pretty evenly spread out there between the two. I think Gene once said in the interview that the name of that instrumental, they called it George for whatever reason. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because of the Beatles, George, or something else. I don't know, but George. I always liked the instrumental. I think the first time listening to it, you know, when you first heard it and you're hearing that, and all of a sudden it just rock bottom kind of just kicks in. It's like, wow, what happened? You know, it's kind of jarring, but it still works. It's a really cool song. Both parts of it. I gave it a 2 on lyrics because there's not much to lyrics, and it's a short little thing on Rock Bottom. And obviously the instrumental has no lyrics either. So I kind of dinged it. That's all. Melody 4, give it a 4 out of 5, and taste a 3. So 18 on that one. But yeah, I really like that one. It's one of the better songs. I guess you'd call it, on the album.
Yeah, that one, I think the intro came pretty late in the sessions. So I wonder if they tacked that on just because the song was so short. They
couldn't need to come fill up with
anything more. And look at the way it starts. You know, it really just, it's like 0 to 60 in a nanosecond.
Exactly.
So how else could you treat that? And Mark, as an engineer, you know, it would work as a segue from one song to another immediately going into it, but it really needs a setup. And that lighter piece is a nice counterplay. I think it's beautifully recorded, the acoustic section. But, you know, the rest of it is just so short, it's really a wham bam. But I agree wholeheartedly with Lonnie and Mark on Madison Square Garden video 96 of that performance with the lighting, with those two guys and their guitars, is an absolutely glorious thing. So I'm like, it's basic. It's good enough for the circumstances lyrically. It's a rocking melody and strong musically. But as you know, Max in the chat noted, it's just 2 minutes, and some of you guys did as well. And I give it... I made a mistake. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Math what? Mistake. Yeah, 2.5. No. 2.5 on the taste. I'm in between there. Okay. And, you know, it's... I'm not going to try and elevate it into something it isn't, being so short. So, there we go. All right, moving on. What was Daniel on this? Daniel agreed with Lonnie. Exactly. All right, side B, we're flipping this record over. Let's start. We can start with anyone for this one because everyone likes Come On and Love Me. But let's go with Ken.
Yeah, Come On and Love Me, one of the singles, the best Paul song on the album, I guess, if you call it a Paul-only written song. Lyrics, 4 out of 5, really good lyrics. The melody, very, very, very catchy, good melody. For the whole song, the the verses and the chorus. So 4 out of 5 on that one, and Taste 3. This is what Paul should be, you know, writing that kind of stuff. So 24 for this song for me.
I'm glad my spreadsheet updates when I find an error. Mark.
Well, this is the simplest one out of all of them for me to rank. Like I said before, this song should have been a top 10 single, in my opinion, easily. It was a great song, and everything about a single is here. It's not too long. It has a great chorus. It goes it has a very good flow from beginning to end. It even has a nice little guitar solo in there as well. So every single box is ticked. Lyrics, I gave this a perfect 5 out of 5. I think this is Paul Stanley lyrically at his finest. I don't know if he wrote a better song lyrically during the makeup period after this one. I don't know. That could be debated, but I think it's probably one of his best songs that he wrote lyrically. Musically, I think it's perfect. I gave it a 5 out of 5 as well. I don't think there's anything that you can do on here to make it better. I love how the acoustic guitar is nicely layered underneath the electric guitars in this. Hats off to Dave Whitman, who engineered this record, because he did a great job with this stuff. You know, it could have easily been a shitty sounding record, and a lot of these things could have been missed. But because of his great engineering skills, this album turned out as great as it did, and this song especially benefited from his engineering touch. And I gave it a Taste 3 out of 3 with a perfect 30 score for this song.
Excellent. Lonnie, you also gave it perfect marks.
I also gave it a 30, big shocker. Lyrics are great. I mean, they are like a standard Kiss lyric. You know, like what more of a lyric do you want from Kiss than the lyrics in the song? You know, they're so fun and so catchy and just make you smile every time you listen to them, at least for me. Melody, I love it from start to finish, and I love the Ace, just, you know, the Ace just soloing as the song just gets through the second verse and into the end of it. Not a crazy Ace solo, but just hearing that Ace Frehley tone toward the end of the song just sets it up even nicer than what it was going into it. And Taste is a 3. I love the song, absolutely do. It's so fun, so catchy, and I think it's very I loved when they played it when they came back for they played, I guess they started playing it in 96 when they went to Japan and Australia in early 97, and then when they did the Lost Cities tour, they came back and they played it when I saw them in 97, spring of 97. And I think I've heard him play it a few more times than that, but I think it was underplayed. I don't think it got enough. I don't think they played it enough because it is so good. I think that they could have played it more because it is so darn good.
Mm-hmm.
And just one of their better songs, period. I know I love the song, but I just think it's one of their better songs, period. And especially when they put the makeup back on in 96, I think it should have just been a staple moving forward. So can't say enough great things about it. I gave it 30 out of 30.
Yeah, amen. I can't really add to that. It's a perfect song. It's the first Kiss. I believe it's the first Kiss song that ever made me reach for a guitar and try and start playing along with that riff. That riff just does something for me every time I hear. I love it. I love the sound of the guitars with the underlying acoustics that you could just hear. You know, lyrically, it's a fun song. I've always liked those lyrics. Melodically, it's a fun song. But I think the only thing that lets down this song is the production.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just a little bit too polished down that it loses something in terms of brightness, which it deserves. But, you know, that's why you got EQ. Well, that's why in the old days you had EQ on your stereo. You could adjust it for your own preferences. So 30 out of 30 for that. And Daniel was also very positive on this one, 27 out of 30. So we're unified across the board. Anything from my baby keeps us going into positive, you know, pop realm. And for me, I ranked this one 25.5, so very highly. Again, it's pop perfection under pressure. It's old school rock and roll again. They're going back into a very safe and comfortable place from which to write with that traditional rock and roll feel. But on this song in particular, what stands out for me is the drums and the bass. So great performance by those guys. Ken, anything for my baby?
Anything for my baby? Yeah.
Did I miss you for coming on Love Me?
No. No, I went first, I think. I'm good there. Anything for my baby, I like a lot. I was reading in the Behind the Mask book, I think Paul Stanley doesn't like this song. He thinks it's not very good. For whatever reason. But you know, it's a good song. The only thing I would have changed is I wouldn't have had, and I said this before, I think when we did the 45th anniversary, I would have gotten rid of the lead in Anything for My Baby at the beginning part. I cut that off and just started with the you know, chords leading into the song itself. That's the only thing I would change on it. But actually, lyrics, 3, you know, out of 5, not, you know, they're okay. Melody, 4 out of 5, pretty good melody. And taste, 3 out of 3. So I gave it a 21. I do like the song a lot. So I like it more than Paul does, at least.
All right, Mark, what about you for Anything with My Baby?
Well, for once in my life, I think I'm going to agree with Paul Stanley. I really don't like this song. There's a few things about this song that I don't like. I think one of the things that it where it gets hurt is that it comes after Come On and Love Me, which is such a great song. And then after that you go to this, which is like, ugh, this is so, you can tell it was like written like in their other phase there with Lester there with their flutes and everything else there. Because this song is just that introduction to Anything. It sounds like it was a really bad, like pop bubblegum, that whole section at the beginning. I agree with Ken that they should have ditched that whole part at the beginning. And while I really admire Julian on many levels as a writer, as a music person, and everything, I don't agree about the drums in this song. I think that it's very, very cheesy. The whole snare roll bits during the chorus, Anything. It's just so, just terrible, this song. I don't know. I don't like it. Just, it rubs me the wrong way, this song. I mean, just, I think it has a lot to do with Come On and Love Me. Like, that's such a great song, and it had everything I love in it. And this, I just had everything I didn't like about it. I gave lyrics, I gave it a 2.5. Music, I just gave it a 2. And taste, I gave it a 1. So I gave it a 4.5.
Wow.
I just think this song is just
4.5.
This is just terrible. This should have been totally removed from this album. It would have been much better to put anything else on here besides Anything for My Baby. They could have put, you know, Peter Criss just strumming an acoustic guitar and singing out of tune. It would have been a better song than this.
Wow.
So, that's just my opinion.
Okay? White noise for 3 minutes. Ken would have been, Mark would have been happier. Yeah.
Yet the album is a perfect album for Mark.
Oh, it's not perfect. Far from it. My overall is 49.5, I gave it, right?
Almost.
I think I need a wow from Lonnie on that one.
Man. Well, I'm gonna disagree with Mark entirely here, because I think the lyrics are great. I gave it a 5. I think the lyrics are great. I mean, it starts off with "I'm in love and it feels so good." I'm like, how? I mean, that's so relatable. It's so relatable type of lyrics. It's a guy singing about that he's in love and there's nothing he wouldn't do for the girl he's in love with. It's so relatable. It's so just pop 70s Kiss. I think it's great. And I gave the lyrics a 5. I think they're incredible. And melody, I gave it a 5 too. It's so fun. It's such a fun 3 minutes of the song. And I like the guitar riff. I'm just shocked by Mark's criticism of this song more than anything else.
I don't have any ones on
I gave it a 3 for taste. I gave it a perfect score. I think it's up there. Julian gave it a 27. I gave it a 30. It is It is so this, and I'm going to say the same shocker. I'm going to say the same thing about "Love Her All I Can" when we get to that. I think those three songs, "Come On and Love Me," "Anything for a Baby," and "Love Her All I Can," are three of the most underrated Kiss songs ever. I think they're so fun, so catchy, and so darn good. I gave them all 30s. "Anything for My Baby" is great, vastly underappreciated, fantastic Kiss song.
Canada. Oh, Canada.
Hey. Oh, Canada. Well, we have our opinions, believe me.
Everyone's got an opinion.
That's why there's different people on the panel.
There's no such thing as a wrong opinion. Now, Mark and I happen to agree when it comes to She. So, Mark.
Okay, so She, again, She is one of those songs that I absolutely love live. I think it's one of those songs that when I hear it start up, I'm like, yeah, this is great. I know what's coming, especially the live versions that he did in 76. It's great. I mean, just, you know, Ace is going to be doing his solo bit, which, again, was a highlight for me during that time period. I've always loved it. But on the record, it's not terrible. Like, I'm going to preface this by saying it's not a horrible song, and it doesn't get anywhere near as bad a ranking as Anything for My Baby does. But, you know, I guess the problem with this is that because I was so familiar with the Alive version before I got this record, when I heard this version of it, some of it kind of irked me. Like, that the way it ends on record here, with how it goes, that then how it goes to that other little part. I'm so used to it just going to that little part from what's that song that they go to, from the first album, how they do that little transition. I'm so used to that transition that any kind of different ending to She just was like a little strange for me. So I gave it, lyrically, I gave it a 3. I think it's not bad lyrics. I think actually it's a little bit more of a thought out lyric, I think, from Gene's part. You know, She Walks by Moonlight. It's a little bit more, you know, it's more like he was trying to write actual decent lyrics. Like, he didn't just go last minute and wrote anything down. I think this was a bit more thought out. Musically, I thought it was pretty good. I like the riff. That's always been a kind of a cool riff to figure out, especially that that whole run after there is pretty cool on guitar to play. You know, the only thing is, on record, I think it's a little, doesn't have as much energy on album as it does live, but that's with most songs, I think. So that's not really here nor there. That's just a little nitpick. And taste, I gave it a 2 out of 3. So I gave this a 12. So it's not terrible, but, you know, I still think there's much better songs on this record.
I also gave it 12. I found it dirgy.
What?
A weak attempt at Sabbath. I love it live as a setup for Ace's guitar solo on the tour, but we're not voting on that. And when I was going back through some of the demo stories, I've got a picture that goes with this. This was a graphic that I forgot to use for the demo story panel. So that's the really cool imagery that I get out of this song. So what do I say about it in my notes? She, turgid, a meh song. Melody, turgid, not a good Sabbath-y type dirge. Ace's leads stand out. And taste, I give it 2. Turgid. I used to like this one much more than I do now, and it's one that I can play. And it's fun to play. So go figure. Kiss fan. Lonnie.
I disagree. I really like the second side of this album. I gave She lyrics a 4. I think they're again very Kiss like lyrics. I think they're very good. I and the melody, I gave it a 5. I love the song. I love the feel of the song. I enjoyed listening to the studio version of this song this week, because, like you guys, my go-to version of She is the Alive version.
Yes.
It is, because it is so damn good. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed listening. I don't listen to the studio version of She very often, and I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. And like, oh, this is actually really, really good. I still think it works very well on the album. So I gave the melody a 5 because I really like the melody of the song. And I gave Taste, I gave it a 3. It's good. I sound like a broken record today. I'm so positive on everything today with Dressed to Kill. So I ended up with a 27 with She. I think that it's great. It's again, it's in my opinion, it's kind of a staple Kiss song, and I think it's an underplayed Kiss song when it comes to a live performance. I think it's really good.
Yeah, and Daniel agreed with you on all of those points, you know, for his ranking. The interesting point at this stage of the show is we could have listened to the album twice at this time. Ken, She.
Yeah. She, I love She. I think the first time I listened to the album, though, is I thought it was, you know, kind of like what Mark was saying, is, you know, it's very slow, and I wasn't into that at that time. But over the years, the more I listen to it, the more I like it, and I really love the song. I think it's great, even though it's slow. It does have that kind of Sabbath-y kind of feel to it. It's the only song that would, you know, keep the cohesiveness out of this album, I think, because everything else is moving, you know, moving along and upbeat, which is, you know, fine. But I just love it. I love the darkness of it. And I guess I was reading in the book, again, that same book, Behind the Mask, and so I guess Steve Cornell was working up something before that, and then Gene came in and just came up with the lyrics. I guess he said took about 30 minutes to come up with the lyrics for this. I don't know how much music he might have had that middle different part, you know, where they, that kind of running bassline kind of thing that probably Gene came up with, I'm assuming. Anyway, really love the song. So lyrics 4 out of 5, melody 4 out of 5 for me, and a taste 3. I think it's a really, really good song. One of my favorites, of my 4 favorites from this album. So, and I agree. I agree. I mean, the live version is just great, and you know, the extended version of it, it's so cool.
And just going to the comments, yes, it did start out as a Jethro Tull style song with Wicked Lester with flutes and all that shit. They played it on the Kiss tour. They played it up. I think they'd even performed it live in October 74. So it regularly turned up in the early sets, which is why I get such a kick out of Paul introducing the song. Is here's one you've never heard before, a new one, She. There we go. Did I get everyone for this song? Because I've been redoing my charts for the final part of the show.
Yes.
All right. So we're into the final two songs. Love Her All I Can. I give it 28.5. I think it's the better candidate for recycling for material from Wicked Lester that was considered. They also considered Keep Me Waiting. And I can't remember what the other one was. That doesn't matter. But I've always loved this song. The shared vocals, the guitar parts in it. Again, this is one I reach for my guitar. I'll play along with this. I just love that riff to pieces. This is pop perfection. It sounds great. Really, there's very little to criticize on that. But I just think it could have been a little bit brighter sounding. But again, I'll use my EQ for my own preferences. That guitar work on this song, the tempo, the vocals, the dynamics, fantastic. It's probably one of my favorites on the album. Ken?
Yeah, I really like this song a lot too. Love Her All I Can, you know, good lyrics, 4 out of 5 for me. And melody, great melody on it. 4 out of 5 on that too, and a 3 for taste, so a 24. I think it's just a really well-crafted, you know, pop song by Paul. It's really good. So one of my favorites on the album, again, one of my 4 favorites on the album.
Yeah, there's no hate on this panel for Love Her All I Can. Mark?
So everything that I despised about Anything For My Baby, I love about this song. It's a complete opposite. I think the drumming on this is fantastic. I mean, the drum breaks in this song where he does his fills, great. Peter Criss at his finest. The guitar riff at the beginning, incredibly good. I mean, me and Daniel, we did our riff episodes. This is one of the ones that I played as one of my suggestions, and I've always loved that. Dan it, dan it, I think that's really great riff. And the fact that after he does that riff and it kicks into a really nice upbeat part, that whole thing is good. Like everything about that is what I liked about their reworking of this. I think the main problem I had with Anything for My Babies, it reminds me very much of like the Beatles, but the kind of like, you know, la 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 drumming along. This one is much more rock and rollish, Rolling Stones, it brings me for more than a Beatles thing, you know what I mean? So I really love this song. The harmonies throughout are just really, really great. I mean, if there's one song I would have loved to have covered with my band at the time, would have been this one, because the vocal harmonies in this are so much fun and would be great to do live. And Gene's bass is great on here as well. I think he did a good job. I think everything on here is near perfect. So I gave it a 4 out of 5 for lyrics. I think they're great, the lyrics. The music, I gave it a 4 out of 5. Fantastic music. And the taste, I gave it a 3. So 24, I gave this one. I really do enjoy this song.
Which leaves Lonnie, another perfect score.
Spoiler, yeah, I already said I gave the song a 30. You know, when they were playing this back in 04, sporadically, and they were playing all the way sporadically a few shows, I was really hoping for this song. When they came to St. Louis, I was really hoping, man, that'd be so great if I can get Lover All I Can live. That'd be so incredible. I mean, what are the chances of them ever playing that live? I could get that. They didn't play this song live. They played Cold Gin that night in that. I like, come on, I've heard Cold Gin like every Kiss concert I've ever been to. This song is fantastic. It really truly is. I'm just going to echo what Julian and Mark were just saying. I think the lyrics are a 5. They're perfect Kiss lyrics. The melody is a 5. It sticks with you. You find yourself just nodding along and singing along to it. It's so catchy and just fun. It's just so. It was such a good choice. I agree with Julian. It's such a good choice. Let's bring this song out of the Wicked Lester demos and let's put this on an album and let's update it a little bit with the new band. And boy, did they hit a home run with it. They really did. Taste, I give it a 3. Perfect song, 30. Can't say enough good things about it.
Thank goodness they didn't recycle it for Hotter Than Hell. That would have killed that production.
Been terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. She could have withstood being recycled
for
that album, but Lover All I Can would have been brutalized. Now, Wade, you took a shot there at Canada. And Mark
catching strays today.
Yeah. You know, Mark ranks Rock and Roll All Night the highest on this panel. So how about that for the Rock and Roll National Anthem? Mark, take us away.
So I said it before, this is one of the songs that I'm sure everybody on the panel here and even in the gallery here would probably agree that this is the one song that probably we've heard so much that we could probably do not hearing it once in a while. But it is truly a great song. I think that when Bogart and those guys came up to them and said, listen, you guys need an anthem, you guys need a song that represents you. And I think that when they sat down and realized the importance of the song, they really came through, I think. They finally kind of sat down, really put their heads together, Gene and Paul, on this one. And I think they came up with the goods on this one. You know, I think the lyrics of it really do represent, you know, what they were trying to get across, you know, about the whole anthemic, we are one, you know, rock and roll night, let's party every day kind of thing. I think it really was well written. Musically, I find it's perfect, this song. So lyrically, I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Now, the only reason why I didn't give it a 5 is because I still think Come On and Love Me is a better lyrically written song on there, but it's near perfect still, Rock and Roll Night. Musically, I think everything about this song is great. Like I said, as much as I, you know, have been overplayed this song throughout the years, I think that musically it's fantastic. That drum beat at the beginning, fantastic. And I think that's the other thing that irked me about Anything for My Baby is that it almost seemed like they ripped off that drum beat at the beginning. But anyways, we're past that song. But that's a 5 out of 5 musically for me, Rock and Roll Night. I think that, you know, the guitars sound great, the bass lines. I mean, the great thing is that Julian did a little song stories about this song, and I got to hear some of the early demos of this version. And the bass line is really different from the beginning of this song. He kept it really more simple. Only later on did he start introducing that walking bass, but that dun, 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 dun. At first he didn't do that. He kept it really simple on bass, but I'm glad he changed it to this way because I think the bass line is more melodic and it fits the song a hell of a lot better than the original way. So taste, I gave it a 3. So I gave this a 28 and a half out of 30 for this song. Near perfect song, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you can hear that bass line on the Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits version of the song, though they mutilate Peter's drums on that and other songs. Who should go next on Rock and Roll All Night? Let's see. Yeah, let's go to the other side of the grading curve, Ken.
Yeah, I didn't give it a bad score. I didn't give it a bad score. It's not perfect, you know. Lyrics are 3 out of 5. I mean, that's fine. Melody, I give it a 5 out of 5 because the verses and the, you know, the chorus, they're all very melodic and cool. And a taste 3. The only thing I dinged it on was lyrics. I mean, come on, there's not much to the lyrics of it all. It's just straight kind of generic lyrics, really. Yeah, rock and roll all night, party every day, that's cool. But it's, you know, singing a lot of that over and over again. So, you know, so it ranks as high as my other ones. It, you know, this song is like what Reese's, you know, peanut butter and chocolate are to Reese's. It's like that same kind of thing to rock and roll, the Gene piece and the Paul piece. It's like, you know, peanut butter and chocolate, putting it together, and it becomes this great thing, which it did become. And yeah, maybe I'm, yeah, obviously tired of it because I've heard it so many times, but I think it's the best song, technically the best song on the album, really, even though I rank it the same as Come On and Love Me and a couple others. So yeah, it's a classic.
Yet if I hear it on TV or out in the wild, I get whiplash looking. It has
instantaneous. Yeah.
Again,
I'm it's got that Leonardo DiCaprio going.
You perk up.
Yeah. It's got that anthemic quality that's so banged into us by now. You know, it's repetition. That's like Martin Luther King Jr. speech. I have a dream. I have a dream. I have a dream. I want to rock and roll all night. I want to rock and roll all night. Damn it. You're going to rock and roll all night, boy. But it is it's a collision of two completely disparate styles of writing in the verses, which are so Gene, and the chorus, which is so Paul. I gave it 21 points. I'm not going to elevate it above stuff like Lover All I Can or Come On and Love Me, which for me are clearly far superior songs. And it doesn't even have a damn solo. So it's great for what it is, but it comes into its own on the Alive album. And that's where, when we do that one, I'll have much more positive things to say about that, simply because it is the live version, which is only fair to leave Lonnie with the final word on Rock and Roll All Night and the songs on this album with his positivity that he's brought to the table today.
Right. So it's Rock and Roll All Night. It is the essential Kiss song. It is the staple Kiss song. It's what most people relate to. If they're going to think of one song when they think of Kiss, maybe in Europe they think of I Was Made for Loving You, but in North America, it is definitely Rock and Roll All Night. It's what made them Kiss. So lyrics, I want to rock and roll all night and party every day. That's a 5. I'm sorry. That is so damn good. You couldn't put a gun to somebody's head and make them write a better lyric than that. That's so anthemic. It's so Kiss. It's so perfect. Melody, I dinged it just a hair and gave it a 4 instead of a 5. The only reason I did is to echo what Julian said. There is no Ace Frehley solo on it. I wish that the solo that appears on Alive was there. Well, pardon the hell out of me.
Yeah, it's clearly Crazy, Crazy Nights.
Right? Oh, gosh. You know, I wish there was that Ace Frehley solo that's on Alive was on the studio version. It's the only thing I really give it. And taste, I give it a 3. It's Rock and Roll Night. It's a great song. It's I know it's not charting wise their biggest hit, but it is their biggest hit.
You know what? Can I just say one thing? Sorry, I have to say this. I think Lonnie made a really, really, really excellent point there at the end. I think that if you go to anybody on the street and ask them to name a Kiss song, I guarantee you they're going to pick this song out of any other song on this album. Even over Come On and Love Me, I guarantee you more people know Kiss for Rock and Roll Night than anything else on this record. So that's the importance right there, I think.
I would love to test that theory. We'll never know whether that's accurate or not. So let's see how these
Mark
songs...
the Street Reporter, he could get it going. We could find out.
Yeah, Mark out on the street.
All right, Mark, you've got your homework. All right, so in 10th place on 68 points, Ladies in Waiting. In 9th place on 78 points, Two-Timer. In whatever the next place is, Getaway on 95.75. Rock Bottom on 101. She on 102. Room Service 103.5. That sounds like a radio station. Anything for My Baby on 105. Rock and Roll All Night 127. Love Her All I Can, 130, and the clear winner of this panel's rankings for this album, Come On and Love Me, on 141 points. And, I mean, it's just no shock whatsoever that all those up-tempo songs, Anything for My Baby through Come On and Love Me, are the clear winners, you know, in terms of taste. And it'd be interesting to see, you know, how that meets with other folks' opinions. Now, how we voted overall... yeah, so Lonnie was the Sunshine Boy on 54 points for the overall voting, and it translates into the personal ranking. He's got the highest ranking. This is out of a maximum of 360, or 36 when divided by the number of songs. Lonnie is the highest ranking on 30.4, followed by Daniel on 26, then me just behind with my corrected math, 25.93, then Mark, and overall... least favorite.
Wow. 70s Ken is down the lowest.
Yeah. So, you know, a little bit of a shocker there. Just by the difference between yours and Lonnie's overall on this one were quite broad. Usually that does not happen. Now, how does this album rank up against everything else that we've refocused in on? Yeah. Let's just go back through these. Kiss had a 24.67 cumulative score ranking, followed by Dynasty on 23.67. Sonic Boom got 19.45. Animalize 18.16. Hot in the Shade, just flush, 14.34. Hotter Than Hell on this panel's refocused was higher than Kiss. The debut at 24.69. And we've got a new favorite Kiss FAQ album with 25.71 points. Dressed to Kill jumps into the lead by nearly a full point. So that's absolutely staggering how these are turning out now that we got metrics of Julian's math to put it all together.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So in summary, I've enjoyed the shit out of listening to this album. Like I said at the beginning, working on the song stories for this, I think there's now four available from this album, including Lover All I Can and what's it called? She, plus the two that I've done this year. So it's been really fun. Lonnie, wrap up. Final thoughts on how it's all gone today.
Ken's back.
Yeah, who banned him for his rankings today?
I don't know. I think it was the admin.
Ken got the axe. I again, like I said at the beginning, I love this album. It is one of my favorites. And going back and listening to it the last couple of weeks, made me just realize why I love it so much. I like that it's kind of poppy type Kiss. I enjoy the hell out of the 70s style poppy type Kiss. I think that of the original six, it is my second favorite sounding album. To me, it sounds like Kiss is supposed to sound on vinyl, right behind Rock and Roll Over, which I think we all agree is the best sounding Kiss album of the 70s. So really enjoyed the hell out of it. Enjoyed your guys's opinions as well. I'm glad that I'm proud that it's in the lead among our refocuses.
Yep, I don't have a problem with that result. Mark, what about you?
Yeah, I got to agree with a lot of what Lonnie said. I'm surprised, not surprised that it's in the lead, but I'm glad that it's in the lead because it has a lot of good things going for it. You know, even though I ding that one song, I think overall still it's a great listen. And I really enjoy listening to this record. I mean, while I was this week, you know, thinking of my rankings, I listened to it several times on vinyl downstairs in my basement there and really enjoyed it. I brought it in the car with my CD copy of it. It's very rare that I listen to a record that much during the week and don't get sick of it by the end. I still say I really enjoy this record. I'm not sick of it, to be honest. And that's kind of surprising because I do find that I like that if I listen to something for research reasons or whatever, and if I have to listen to it that much, by the end of it, I'm like dreading some of these records after a while. So, but this record is really good. I think it helps that it's not a very long album. I mean, it was harder, very hard doing the Hot in the Shade in retrospect because of that, having to listen to so much material over and over again during the week. So, but this was a pleasure.
Yeah. Ken, how about you?
Yeah, I listened to it several times this last week, and I really enjoyed it every time. I mean, I wasn't getting tired of it or anything. It's a really good album. I think, though, on my own, I ranked it. It's probably third on my ranking of the ones we've done. Because I think I ranked Kiss and Hotter Than Hell higher, slightly higher than this one. Overall ranking, obviously, it's number one, which is fine. I think, you know, it deserves to be up there anyway. A lot of great songs on there. I just got to say one thing about the Mark and Anything for My Baby. I have a question for him, first of all.
Uh-oh. Do Mark, you like, are you taking questions?
No, do you like BTO? You know...
No, Bachman, I'm whatever. Not into Bachman Turner. No.
Okay, so that's why, because that was Paul's attempt at writing like a Bachman Turner Overdrive type song. If you really listen to it, it sounds like that type of song. So anyway, that possible, probably, yeah. I was going to see how you felt about that. But yeah, this album is great. You know, I enjoyed it thoroughly, even though my ranking is the lowest. I think it's a great album. Even though I'm not gonna rank everything just because I'm a Kiss fan. I'm not gonna rank everything at, you know, tens or whatever. It's just, you just can't do that. I gotta think about the whole spectrum of 20 albums or whatever.
No, there we are. That is the result for this show. You know, this month there's obviously gonna be stuff coming. I think everyone expects some announcement on Kiss Online. They've got the walking tour geared up to celebrate this album. Who knows what else is in the pipeline for celebrating it? Maybe this anniversary, if they do a red vinyl, people will actually be able to purchase it, and it will be affordable. Time will tell. Yeah, you know what? There's only a couple of weeks left to wait to see what is going to happen. And I think, you know, it's a good excuse for fans just to go back and listen to these albums, whether anyone else is celebrating them, put them on your turntable, put them in your CD, put on your headphones and stream, however you consume this music. Take the opportunity just to sit back and put that damn thing on repeat and enjoy the music that's brought us all together, you know, because these anniversaries are just a reminder of how fucking long it's been since these albums came out. And, you know, it's for us, it's great just to sit back and
There you go.
Yeah,
absolutely. There we go. Julian, shut up before we forgot what we're talking about. I want to take the opportunity to thank everyone who's joined us live in the chat. Your comments are very much appreciated and an important part of the show. Check out the members only section now, which more content's going in there. Members get exclusive early access to episodes. They get exclusive episodes that aren't going to go into the public channel. They get song stories and other things. Check it out. Try it for a month. See if you like it and leave your feedback and let me know what you think. But for now, from Daniel, from Ken, Mark, Lonnie, and myself, thanks for joining us and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for spending time listening to the Kiss FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the Kiss FAQ message board and discuss the topic we've broadcast today. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Spreaker, or wherever you've listened to the show. We hope you'll join us again.